Amen. He came. Oh, dear. I knew that was probably going to happen. Well, I didn't know it. I thought it might, but it's just my husband's a little taller than I am. Get myself all situated here. It's like did you notice, ladies, that we had a full moon? Oh, man. Last night I was in the kitchen making cookies, and I have 6 windows across the back of my kitchen. And when it's cold out, I keep the Roman shades down most of the time to try to keep the warm in and the cold out. But I had the oven going, so I wasn't being quite so diligent. And I walked from one end of the kitchen to the other, and I just looked at the window, and I saw this bright, bright light out there. And I was like, oh, I hadn't realized. I mean, it's been so cloudy. Good gracious. Who knew it was close to a full moon? All of a sudden, the sky's clear, and look, a full moon. So I was like, oh, the sky is so clear. When it's cold and crisp, it's just the atmosphere is a clarity to it. So, of course, I wash my hands quickly, run into the other room, grab my camera, and I go out the back door. And boy, it was crispy cold. And I'm steadying my camera against the door jamb so I can take a picture because of the exposure. It's going to be a longer time, and I didn't want to jiggle. And it was really interesting because I got some really bright globe kind of things. And then I started playing around with the settings, and I decided to change lenses. And I got, it was really interesting when I was looking back at my photographs, that when I changed the lens for the long distance to bring it closer in, I ended up, and it's a combination of factors that caused this, I ended up with the moon out there as this disc, but with a cross shape extending from it. I was like, wow, Lord, that's really cool. That's really cool. And it's just, you know, it wasn't there if you just looked at it with your eye, but just the distortion, quote unquote, of the lens of my camera caused my focus to be upon Jesus. And it's like, you know, even though sometimes things around us, our lives get a little distorted. And this time of year, sometimes we get distorted from what the real reason for the season is, because all of the busyness, the cares of the world, and the holiday concerts and the winter holiday, people kind of sometimes find themselves losing the focus of what the reason for the season really is. And it's the time that we choose to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And what a joyous time it is. What a joyous time. The rest of the things of the world, the things going on in our life, everything else can fall away, and it's time to just refocus. Refocus. It's so easy to get distracted by life, but to refocus on the reason that any of us live or breathe even, it's because we have a God who holds our lives in his hand. A God who's bigger than the entire universe. A God who is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. He can do everything. And yet, he chose to come to this place called Earth. He chose to come here. He came to get us. He came for us. So I want to pray, and then I'm going to get into the Word. Father, we do so thank you for your Son. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son so that we, Lord, would be healed of our sin, so that we would be reconciled to you, Lord, so that we could experience the blessings of your presence for all eternity. Oh, Lord, we just love you. We thank you, and we praise you, and we bless you. And we pray right now that you will send your Holy Spirit here, that he will open our ears to hear, give our hearts readiness to receive in our minds, Lord, that you would speak to us the things you would have us to hear. Lord, that you would just fall upon us now. Lord, that you would just anoint the words, that you would just anoint your word. Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, and Lord, that we would fall more in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would open to Luke chapter 2, this is a well-known portion of Scripture, especially this time of year, and I'm going to just read it straight through verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And so the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What a marvelous scene. What a wonderful experience. What a scary time for them, sore afraid. That's way beyond just plain scared. I mean, that's like your knees are knocking. Can you imagine sitting out there with those sheep on the hillside? And they're sitting up there, they got a fire going, the sky is clear, there are the stars, you're a little off in the background. All of a sudden, whoa, there's stuff going on in the sky over your head. It's like, and this was way before they believed in UFOs. Today, people would say, oh, it must be a UFO or an alien. No, they knew it was a vision from God, and they were completely and totally amazed. And they all obviously knew the scriptures. They knew that there was a Messiah who was to come, because when they were told, they went because they wanted to see this baby. Now, it was an interesting thing that they appeared to shepherds. Shepherds were not exactly your top of the social ladder. As a matter of fact, they were pretty much down toward the bottom. That God would choose to come and make this glorious announcement to these men who were just common, ordinary people. They weren't kings, they weren't priests, they weren't Pharisees, they weren't Sadducees. They were just plain ordinary people. And when he spoke, they listened. And they went to see this baby. You know, and I look at this story and how much this young couple must have thought, oh my, Why now this taxation? Why, oh, why, oh, why? Now, I complain about circumstances beyond my control. I don't know that they complained. I think they resigned themselves to the fact this is what they needed to do. But sometimes things come into my life, and they're uninvited things. I don't like them. And they had to go all the way to another town when she was about to have a baby, and she had to ride on a burro. Burros take little steps, and it's like a doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. It's not like a horse that glides or, you know, other animals where or in a cart. I mean, she was really, I'm amazed she didn't give birth on the road. But she wasn't supposed to, now was she? Because there was prophecy. It was cold. It was a long, arduous journey to Bethlehem, and it wasn't optional. There was no choice. A decree from Rome was binding, and they had to go and register so that they could get taxed. They had to be enrolled in the taxes. And it's like, oh, joy, what a wonderful thing. But this was all part of God's plan. I'm sure that if I had been Mary, I would have thought, why now? Why now do I have to go all that distance? But the reason is in Micah. And if you have your Bible, you can open it up to Micah chapter 5. And in verse 2, we find prophecy. And it says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travails hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth, and this man shall be the peace. Referring to Jesus, they had to go to Bethlehem. God was going to get Mary to Bethlehem to have that baby. It didn't matter where she was living. She was going to go to Bethlehem to deliver that baby. He fulfilled prophecy from his birth. Actually, his conception. When we look at all the prophecy fulfilled by Jesus, he'd born of a virgin. The angel came to Mary and told her that she would have a child. And she was like, but I'm a virgin. He said, well, the Spirit of God, he's going to come upon you and you will conceive and you will be a virgin and bear a child. And I love the little innuendos in here. And it says that Mary brought forth her firstborn son. The implication there is there were more children to follow. And here Jesus is born on this wonderful day. And he came to dwell among us. And there are all kinds. When I was studying, I did word search. Well, it's actually a phrase search on that. Those two words. He came. And throughout the New Testament, where you find those passages where it talks about Jesus coming someplace, he came, it says in Matthew 2:23, and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. So he fulfilled prophecy, hundreds of them. In Mark 1:31, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. This is a healing. This was Peter's mother. She was sick in bed, and she had a terrible fever. And when Jesus came to the house, and they said, oh, Peter's mother's very ill, he just went into her. No fanfare, but he came to her. She was lying in bed. And I love so many times when Jesus went to people and he healed them. And he taught. He came to teach. In Mark 6:34, it says, Jesus, and when he came out and saw many people, he was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus came to change lives. He came to do what we could not do, and that was pay the price to make reconciliation with God the Father that propitiation for our sin. That means the man, that, the one that could make the payment, that he had what was necessary, and that was a sinless life. He never sinned. In Mark 6:48, another he came, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking upon the sea, and he would have passed them by. Not really. That's what the verse says. But those men, sitting there in the boat, thinking for sure, they were at the end of their lives. It was over with. They were done. Can you imagine? Out there, the boat's filling with water. They're rowing. They're cold. They're wet. And here comes Jesus. He came to them right where they were, stepped into the boat, and the waves and the wind were calmed. Amazed them. It was a miracle, but I think it was done for them so that they would understand a little bit more of who he was and that he had chosen them and come to them. In Mark 8:22, he came to Bethsaida, and they brought him a blind man, and they besought him to touch the blind man, to heal him. Then in Mark 9:14, oh my, and we see this everywhere, don't we? And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. Doesn't the world question this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Why do you go to church so much? Why do you hang around when service is over with? They just can't understand why people would want to go and sit and listen to a Bible study about Jesus and then stay and enjoy the presence of the Lord and the fellowship of the saints. But Jesus came to bring us together. Jesus spent a lot of time teaching. He spent a lot of time healing people. But that wasn't the reason he came, just to teach or just to heal. His life was an example for 3 years. He walked the earth. He did, during his public ministry, the things that brought a great deal of attention to himself, not because he was arrogant or proud or wanting people to pay attention to him, but because he was the God-man who was coming, who had come to seek and to save the lost sheep of Israel. Yet he also told them in the book of John that he had other sheep too, referring to the Gentiles. That Jesus came. He came to seek and to save each individual. And he has known who those are, the elect of God, those who will come to him since before the foundation of the earth, before time began. He knew that we would be sitting here. He knew who would become his children, who would come into his family, those that he came to seek. He comes to seek us wherever we are. In Luke 7, there's another parable. It's not a parable. It's actually an account. And there was a woman who had a son, her only child, and he had died. And they were carrying him out of the city. And Jesus saw her, and he took compassion on this woman who was a widow, no husband. This was her only child, and he was dead. And Jesus touched the young man and said to him, "Arise." And he got up. Jesus not only healed, but he rose people. Lazarus, everybody knows about Lazarus, right? Come forth. And he did. He was dead, and then he lives. This young man was dead, and now he lives. The young girl, the 12-year-old daughter, the only child also, of the ruler of the synagogue, Jesus went, and he told them, "Oh, she's sleeping." And they ridiculed him, yet he raised her from the dead. And you know, every single one of us, before Jesus comes to us, we're all dead. Not physically, but spiritually. Not only are we lost, but we're walking dead people before Jesus gives us life, spiritual life. And he came and he comes even today. Personally, I know when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the message was very clear and plain to me that I was a sinner, and I needed a savior. And oh, by the way, there was one that happened to be available, and his name is Jesus, and he's the only one. There is no other. You know, and when people tell you, and I know Cardi has said this many times from the pulpit, that, you know, all roads lead to heaven. Well, we know that that's true and false, because there's a judgment seat in heaven, and every person, whoever has drawn a breath, will go and come before the throne of God, and there will be some who will realize for the first time that they were wrong, that God does exist when they come before him in judgment. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, because they will bow their knee and they will go, you truly are God. But this is the side of eternity that Jesus comes to us and gives us that invitation to come to him. Come to him. It's so hard, but it's so easy. It's hard because it is so easy. We don't have to do anything. You know, in John 1:11, it said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Many people Jesus comes to, people in the church, people who call themselves Christians because their parents brought them to church when they were little. Well, again, if I stand in my garage, that doesn't make me a car. Just like coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. You have to receive him when he comes to you. And he does, because he is a gracious, loving, tender-hearted God. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And he draws us by his cords of love. He's gentle, he's kind, he's tender. And oh, he was willing to die. You know, as a little girl, I can remember all those Cinderella fairy tale kinds of things, and always dreaming about that white knight and the shining armor coming and willing to die for me and taking me off to the castle to live with him forever and ever. You know, that's a parallel of Jesus. That knight in shining armor, the only one who can conquer sin, slay the dragon, and provide to us the key and the entry into that castle, the heavenly place, to spend all eternity with Jesus Christ. And it's not the gifts that he has to give us, and oh, he showers us so abundantly with the gifts. It's the giver of the gifts. You know, when you're in love, and the person you love gives you a gift, you don't just take the gift, I hope, and go, oh, wonderful, I love this gift, I love this gift. You turn to the person who gave you the gift, and you shower them with love and appreciation and thankfulness and kisses. You love the giver of the gift. Now, you love the fact he gave you a gift, but you love the giver more. You do. And that's what Jesus wants of us. He wants us to love him. And he wants us to understand that no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter what we have done, that he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I've spoken to people who think that they're too bad, that they have done too many bad things, and that it's just too late for them. And I think I might have thought that about myself at one time. There was just too much that had piled up over in my bad girl side. Okay. Good girl side was very, very minimal. Bad girl side, pretty big. And it's like, you think, well, you know, there's no hope for me because I've done too many bad things. I could never make up for all the bad that I've done. And it's true. We can never make up for all the bad we have done. But the good news is Jesus paid the price. He washes away our sin and makes us white as snow, because he came to do that. He came to take the punishment upon himself for all the sins that all mankind throughout all of time ever committed, are committing, and will commit. That his blood is sufficient to cover all that sin. not only to cover it, but to pay in full. Telestai, paid in full. It is finished. It is paid in full. Jesus paid the price that we cannot pay, that we could never pay, to give us what we all need. There's that empty spot inside that each one of us is designed with, that he came to fill, and only he can fill it. I tried filling it many times with many different things before he came, and once I received him, that hole got plugged up and filled with a wonderful presence. And then he left me with his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God himself. God with us. God is with us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, so many times I read these things and I think these things and I'm like, oh, God is with me. God is for me too. Who can be against me if God is for me? Oh, a lot of the world does seem to be. But you know what? Too bad for them, because I'm on the winning side. Jesus loves me. He adopted me into his family. He paid the price. He came for me. And I said, okay. Because you know what? You can tell him no. And that breaks his heart, I believe. That breaks his heart. He came and he gave his all that he could have each one of us as his personal treasure. And we are. We're treasures to him. He treasures each one of us. He loves each one of us. He is so, so faithful. In Revelation 22, he says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according to his work. And you know, that can be scary. But you know what the work of God says his work is? In the book of John, it says, believe on the one whom God sent, and that's Jesus. So that's the work that we'll be judged at. It's the work of believing in Jesus, receiving Jesus, not just saying, oh yeah, Jesus, he's the Son of God. No, it's that commitment of saying, you are the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. You are the Savior of all mankind. Besides God, there is no Savior. Beside Jesus, there is no Savior. In Hosea 13:4, it says, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. And that means when they came out of the land of Egypt, not that he's from Egypt. And thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. That's Old Testament. God's telling them this. And then he sent Jesus, his son. And it's like, he came for you, each and every one of you. He came, and he will meet you right where you are. You don't need to go anyplace special or go through any rite or ritual. Just speak to him from your heart and he will hear. Tell him the words he longs to hear. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Will you come into my heart and take my life? Such a simple thing. So simple. That's all he requires. I want to know you, Lord. I want to love you, Lord, as you love me. Those are the types of things that I think our Savior longs to hear. He desires to hear. And I know all of us have family members who still don't know the Lord. They haven't come to the end of themselves. They have lots of excuses. But you know, Jesus comes to them right where they are. Never stop praying for them. Never give up on them, because God never gives up on us. This is a wonderful opportunity. When I go out and I say Merry Christmas, when I go into the stores, it's not too common anymore to get it back, but I say Merry Christmas. Sometimes I get a same to you. Other times I get a Happy Holidays in response. Other times silence. But I am so blessed by the opportunity of this time of year to speak about the reason for the season. And I really have no excuse for myself, but I am a bolder witness this time of year out in public than any other time of year, simply because I tell people that I am celebrating Christmas. And do you know, Christmas is the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And he died for me. I said that in the Tops grocery store the other day. And the cashier went, yes! The guy behind me looked at me like, kind of strangely. But you know, one response in one day like that, you know, there is something in my heart that just rejoiced. And I know the Lord rejoiced too, that we proclaimed publicly that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives and he is the Savior of the universe. So I would encourage you, ladies, I'm not trying to beat anybody up or put you down, but I encourage you to have boldness. Just pray and ask the Lord to give you the boldness to speak forth that reason for the season and the blessed hope that dwells within our hearts is that he came. He's here, but he's coming again soon. And you know, I want to see as many people as I possibly can join us. This is not an exclusive club. The more the merrier. It's a wonderful, wonderful philosophy to have when it comes to getting people into the body of Christ. What a Merry Christmas. Join us as those who worship the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. What a wonderful Savior we have, and he came for each and every one of us. So, Lord, I just thank you so much that you sent your Son, and I thank you so much that one day, through the power of your Holy Spirit, my eyes were opened, and I saw Jesus, and my heart broke because I knew how good he was and how not good I was, and that you loved me anyways, and you wanted me to be your own. Oh, I thank you that you're such a loving and kind, compassionate, merciful God. And Lord, that you just don't ever give up on us. I thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every day. I thank you, Lord, that you sought me when I was lost. And I thank you, Lord, for all the souls that you're still grabbing and pulling into the kingdom of heaven through the power of your grace. Oh, Lord. You are mighty. And Lord, we just pray that we remember why we celebrate this day of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.